Welcome to today's Higher Ed Tech Podcast. I'm Tim Van Norman, the instructional technologist here at Irvine Valley College.
And I am Brent Warner, professor of ESL here at IVC. So we both enjoy integrating technology into the classroom, which is what this show is all about. Today, we are going to be talking about video databases and integrating them into Canvas, as well as plagiarism in general and plagiarism checkers.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us.
So, Tim, before we get started, anything new with you? Anything exciting happening?
Just busy starts to the year for everybody and trying to make sure everything goes smoothly. And other than that, looking forward to, you know, with holidays that eventually will come up. we're doing well this way. How about you, Brent?
I'm doing pretty well. As of this recording, so we do slightly pre-recording, I think that's fair to say, where we try our best to be a little bit ahead of the game. But by the time this comes out, it will have been my 40th birthday.
Wow.
So that's kind of exciting. That's
happy birthday.
Thank you.
And as we're recording this, I just passed my 48th birthday this week.
So. Exciting. Oh, I didn't know that we were both August babies.
Yep.
Cool. Good to know. Another thing we have in common.
Yes.
All right. So happy birthday to both of us then. And you guys can send us birthday wishes via via Amazon gift cards. Okay. So let's jump into this. Okay, so Tim, one of the first things that we're supposed to be talking about today is video databases. Now, this is something I really don't know very much about, and I feel like I probably should. I feel like I should be taking more advantage of something like this. But as far as when you say video databases, I'm like, access to videos, and I have YouTube. What else do I need? So can you tell me a little bit about what is a video database and why should I care?
So let's first back up just a little bit with the video databases and talk about databases in general, especially when it comes to a higher ed environment.
Mm-hmm.
So our library has access to lots and lots and lots of databases. So these databases include articles, they include the Wall Street Journal or things like that, a lot of different information. But some of them actually include videos as well.
Okay.
So these videos typically are a little bit higher acclaimed than maybe the YouTube video of some cat playing a keyboard.
Is there anything better than a cat playing a keyboard?
I won't go there. But you get my point that these.
You mean
these
like are produced, like professionally produced?
Professionally produced, but also the fact that these. Hopefully, the people who have recorded them have actually vetted them and made sure, or at least the people who are producing the database, have vetted them to make sure that they're accurate.
Okay.
That they're of a quality for education, not just, hey, this is how you use Excel, click here, but an actual database of information behind that, making sure that there's some accuracy, timeliness, stuff like that.
Okay, so when you're talking about the vetting here, you're almost saying that this is like journal quality stuff, where it has maybe some sort of level of review that's approved, or that's, you know, this organization is saying, hey, we affirm that this is legitimate and that this is, well, you know, the information and the ideas behind here have been researched or something like that.
In many cases, it has been, absolutely. So one of the databases that we've just gotten access to has been LinkedIn Learning.
Oh, okay.
So LinkedIn Learning is the old lynda.com. LinkedIn purchased Lynda, and now we've got LinkedIn Learning, which includes all of the Lynda videos. So Lynda, for instance, gives you a series of videos on a particular topic in like a class type setting.
Right.
Often it includes workbooks, worksheets that you might download and work with as well. So this allows you as the teacher to bring in outside course material that actually somebody has kind of reviewed and was using for a course or developed for specifically for an online type environment. So these types of things available now in Canvas. We can even integrate them into Canvas, and you don't have to pull the whole course into Canvas, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull an individual video.
Okay, so let's run a theoretical example here. So let's say, let's get away from me and my topic sometimes. Let's go to business administration.
So business administration, you may have a case where you want to show, for instance, let's go specifically to human resources.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to pull in specific videos on that are displaying how to handle a specific situation in human resources.
Okay.
Okay. So you could actually have that. Yes, you could go to YouTube and find somebody who might have done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're the one, the teacher, that's really reviewing it and making sure that they don't make any mistakes and stuff like that, versus one of these databases, LinkedIn Learning. We've also got Alexander Street. Those types of databases could have actually put that together, and maybe there's a whole series on these types of topics. And so you can pull the students into the individual components that you want and even allow them then to go in and look at the rest of the whole topics if you want, but not okay. necessarily have it part of your class or required as part of your class. So this allows you to give a lot of extra material to the class that, by the way, is closed captioned and has professional voice recordings and stuff like that. So you can actually have a pretty good quality to it and understand that this is working, this is available to the students directly.
Really strong quality, because Lynda videos, I mean, those work as, or at least in the past, they used to work as like certificates, like hey, I proved that I've done this mini training or something like that, right?
Right. So it's that quality.
Yeah, that's excellent. So you could share that out then with your students, and you could say, hey, okay, let's go back to business or HR. Here's a video that walks through the processes of understanding, bullying and harassment in the workplace. We had a recent workshop on that, right? So then the students could use that official, actually previously potentially used for official training, and they could use that as their learning guide through the process of understanding HR at a higher level.
Exactly.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
And you as the teacher get to choose what is included and what is not included.
Mm, okay. Now, you also said, you said LinkedIn Learning, and you said another one that we have access to?
Alexander Street. Okay. Alexander Street is a little different than LinkedIn Learning. It's got a lot of videos. It's not necessarily as, it's not as course specific related. It's more topic related.
Okay.
Versus LinkedIn Learning, if you went and you did a search for Excel, you're going to find 20 Excel 2016 courses.
Okay.
And each one might have 20 videos. Alexander Street doesn't seem to have as much variety on the same topic, which actually can be very useful,
right?
Because you don't
choice paralysis, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You get too many different options. Now you're having to actually curate them yourself rather than letting the system do what it's supposed to do.
Got it. Okay. So it seems like there's a lot to work with there. Now, I'm also thinking here, flipped classroom. I mean, it seems like the obvious solution here. So if a teacher is wanting to use some of these videos and saying, hey, watch these, and then we can come and discuss them in class the next time, seems like a really great solution for someone who wants to kind of experiment a little bit with flipped classes.
Right. That's a really good place. And by the way, when I taught face-to-face classes, I used this kind of in a flip type situation, in that if anybody ever asked me a question in class, I would try to find a video that would answer that question for them. So then while I could provide the answer, now they get it historically and they can be reminded of it as they're studying for the test, and they don't have to come back to me and ask me the same question.
Right.
If I did something like I would be doing a calculation of converting from binary to decimal and decimal back to binary, I found videos that did it exactly the same way and provided that to the students through Canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came time for the test, they could review it themselves and come to me for help, but at least they could review it themselves from home.
Got it. Yeah, so that seems really useful. So multiple points of access to the same information.
Right.
Good.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Now here at IVC, where can people find those databases?
So right now, the best way is to let me know.
Okay.
that you're looking for it, and the library as well is starting to work with a lot of those things. But to let me know that you're interested, it's still really new. In fact, This is kind of an announcement for many people. If they were at my Flex Week presentation, they got about 5 minutes on it. But this is really new for our campus. So we're excited about the possibilities on what this can do and seeing where it goes.
Yeah, I think there's some really interesting potential there. So if you're interested, reach out. If you're not on our campus, I guess you can reach out to your own IT person and take a look around. I mean, this is information. If you have access to these types of databases, you should be able to find someone who's willing to provide it to you.
Right. A lot of times you can go to the library and they know what access they have. Sometimes it's providing a link in your class. Sometimes there's a lot of different things, but your librarian at your college or university will have a lot more information as well.
Yeah. I mean, if there's one underutilized resource on campus, it's certainly the library.
Oh, that's for sure. Absolutely.
We'll get Cheryl on the show one of these days. Absolutely. And we'll talk about that. Absolutely. Okay, great.
Brent, our next topic today is plagiarism. I keep getting all kinds of questions about plagiarism, especially when students are submitting papers, documents, things like that. Why is plagiarism that big an issue?
Well, I mean, I think I'm going to answer this in a certain way. So plagiarism obviously is an issue because, you know, at the standard of the academic level, we're looking for you to provide and produce your own work as a student, right? And to show that you have an understanding of these things and not that other people have an understanding. I think people listening to that understand this pretty well. So I'm going to kind of shift my focus on that answer to why does it become an issue for students so often, or why does it become a thing that students do? And there can be a lot of different reasons. A lot of them might be, you know, the first one, I guess, the most obvious is procrastination, right? People put things off and they're not ready for everything. And so they just waited too long to get started. They might also have a lot of stress, right? They've got other things going on in their lives. Sometimes our students have, you know, 15, 18, 19 units and then a 20-hour part-time job or even a full-time job on top of that, and then trying to maintain a social life, et cetera. Some of our students have really, really high pressure to succeed. We live here in Irvine, and there's kind of, you know, this image to live up to of like high success, you know, go-getter, the person who's going to really go for it all the time and has to be able to beat everybody else. So that pressure to succeed oftentimes, I don't know, I feel like it comes down from the parents sometimes. So there's a lot of different things going on with plagiarism, and it's hard, you know, it's hard just to lay it all down on one reason, but it's something that, you know, as teachers, we're very much aware of. And it can create a lot of problems on different levels. I think you were telling me a story earlier.
Yeah, I was telling you a story about a student who's a good student in class, and all of a sudden, one of the plagiarism checkers sent an email to us saying, hey, this student's paper was used in another location, an East Coast college. And when we took a look at it, it talked to that student, found out that the student had actually uploaded their paper to one of these help sites. To help students study, okay. And realized that didn't think about the fact that the reason that they wanted that paper was so that somebody else could use it or study from the paper or copy from the paper. Mm-hmm. So what seems to be happening is a little bit of confusion maybe on what plagiarism is. I'm hoping that that's the case. Mm. But also I think about when I was in school and how many times people would, write on paper, not type.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, I am a little older than you, writing it down and people copying it straight out of the book. We called it copying. We didn't really call it plagiarism, but it's kind of the same thing. It is the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hearing more and more about that type of thing and people not necessarily thinking about what is going on.
Yeah, so there's quite a few different, I mean, if you really get into plagiarism, there's quite a lot going on with it, right? So there's different styles of plagiarism. There is the straight copy from the website at this point, right? No longer reading out of a book and copying down what you read, but straight plagiarism from copying and pasting from some website. you know, worst case scenario, Wikipedia, but or Spark Notes or something like that. But that's one possible way. There are a few other things that people do too, though. So there's ghostwriting, where they're paying somebody to plagiarize for them or to write something for them. There are summarizers out there online that kind of this is fascinating. If you haven't done this before, there are some of these summarizers out there. You can go read an article and you can click a button that's a plug into your browser, and it scans through the article and says, this article is 1,000 words. How long do you want it to be? And you say, I want it to be 100 words. And then it does an excellent job of summarizing and reducing it down to the key points with high academic language, and it just converts the entire article down to 100 words, and now you just copy that and bring it right into your paper. Right?
Okay, so that wasn't available when I was in school.
Oh yeah, when I saw this thing, I was like, oh my god! And like the quality, really, really high quality. Like I would, if I were reading this from one of my students, I'd be like, okay, pretty strong, right? And then there's also, this is one that shocks my students a lot, is self-plagiarism, where you are not allowed to copy your own work from a previous assignment and put it into this assignment, right, without citing it. And so my students, very often, this is a cultural thing where it's like, that's a Western thing, that's an American or an American academic thing, or I'm sure there's other places, but like from some of their countries, they're like, no, these are my words, this is totally not plagiarism, right? And I get it, but then we have to train the students and say, like, no, in this setting you have to cite yourself and say that you had written in a previous paper this and this and this, right? And so that one can be a real, it can be a mind blower for a lot of the students, and it's something for them to kind of to deal with. And so we do have a lot of issues around it.
And that actually leads me into my next question. So what can a teacher do about plagiarism?
Well, there's a lot of different things that people can do. One is, well, we'll talk about the tools in a minute, but I think that a lot of it is about approach to class. So one of the things that we're trying to deal with this semester, one of my colleagues, Jeff Wilson, has come up with this idea of really giving, for our class, because we do a lot of writing, is giving more writing time in class, where the students are actually sitting down and showing their process of writing step by step all the way through. And so you can actually watch them in the classroom as they're writing. And so if you're going to give a full 2-hour period, and we're lucky enough to have a computer lab inside of our classroom, and watch the students and help them through the process of their drafting as they're in the class, then that's going to lead to, one, to them getting, you know, getting their first foot out, right? And it's like, okay, I'm starting this process, and I'm here with someone looking over my shoulder, but not as just a police officer, as someone to help you and say, like, hey, I don't know where to go, I don't know where to get started. Like, it's not just that you're going to jump and copy something, but you're like, okay, I just need some help to get going with things, or I need some time to process the thinking. But if after 2 hours you've only come up with one sentence, and then, you know, 2 days later you magically have a 4-page paper that has no errors in it whatsoever, then there's something for us to talk about as the teacher and the student. So so part of the idea is giving them more time and more opportunity to produce in front of you. And I think that, well, we're experimenting with that, right? So we'll see how the results go, but that's one possible way to deal with it. That's totally not a tech problem. Like, that's just like straight up, let's get going to this. Let's deal with the capacity of the student. Let's see what they're capable of, and help them out, instead of making it this thing that I'm always, you know, cops and robbers chasing each other and trying to nab you and nail you down on one point or another, which is not really our goal as educators.
Right. I recently spoke with a writing teacher who talked about how for the first assignments, she has them write something, has students write about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of hard to copy off of Wikipedia or something else, something about you.
Correct. Yeah.
So it sounds to me like even the types of assignments, the topics that you choose, having them be something that the student has to come up with something from themselves,
right,
rather than a research. Although research is very important to make sure that you get that. But sometimes just getting that other feel from the student.
Absolutely. So one of the ways that I kind of think about it is, this is hard. At the higher ed level, right, we're supposed to be moving away from the first person and talking about yourself all the time. But
true.
But that being said, you know, people's favorite thing to write about and people's favorite thing to talk about is themselves. And so so there are some ways to do this. And the way that I think about this with assignments in ways that they can't necessarily just copy off of online is I think of a Venn diagram. So whatever topic I'm talking about is one side, and then the student's personal interest is the other side, and then how do those link together, right? Nice. And like, where are those students making connections with that thing? So what are my experiences with this, or how has somebody that I know has dealt with this issue somehow? And so so that's a way that you're kind of encouraging them to make links to their own lives through the content that you're sharing and that you're working on. And that can be a good way that you don't necessarily have to be like, okay, just talk about me. What were my three favorite toys growing up,
right?
Or anything like that. I mean, you can move into a lot more academic things, right? How is the current economic situation going to affect my future, or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
So there's a lot of different things and a lot of different ways. But I am concerned, and I hope that teachers are spending time trying to develop prompts that really encourage and engage students, because I think that can be another reason that students might want to choose to plagiarize.
Well, that makes sense. So this is a technology show.
Sure.
So let's talk a little bit about the technology that can be used.
Ah.
So the first part is, here at IVC, we use Turnitin.
Yes.
So as a teacher, what do you think? Tell me gently what your thoughts are. But from a technology standpoint, it's got a lot of neat features.
Sure.
So
let me tell you gently about Turnitin. So Turnitin is, you're right. So I have mixed feelings about it, basically. Like, I'm kind of ambivalent in certain ways. So Turnitin, you know, you can upload documents to it. It scans it. Now Turnitin has years and years and decades of database of their own content, right? And that's right. Why they're so strong, is because they have so much of their own work already saved, and that's what they're comparing it against, in addition to what's out there, you know, just on the internet in general. And so there's so much information out there that they're already really poised to deal with, and that's great. So they can say, hey, you've got the similarity marker. That's their big, that's one of their big keys, is their similarity marker. So how similar is it to other things out there on the internet? And then as a professor, we look at it and we kind of make judgments on whether that counts, does that constitute plagiarism, or is that just kind of a general phrase or whatever that is. So plagiarism is one, or sorry, the similarity checker is one thing that's quite strong there. The other thing is their quick marks, which mm-hmm. is, I actually think they're quite quite useful, the quick marks. So we use them as correction symbols. So we'll say, you know, hey, here you're using a verb tense incorrectly, or you're creating a run-on sentence or something like that. And we just have the quick little mark, and then that can create a mini database off to the side, and they can see how many times they're having certain problems, and, you know, what they're dealing with regularly, and what areas they should be focusing on in the future. Plus the ability to annotate directly on the paper with typing, with clear writing. If you see my chicken scratch, that's not great.
I understand. So back in July,
mm-hmm.
a new company came out and said that with Canvas together, they announced that they've got a plagiarism checker. And at least as far as the recording time is concerned, we haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Proctorio.
Oh, yeah.
So that one, that's an interesting one that is hopefully coming up soon. We would like to see that, and just to see what the options are. And frankly, competition makes everybody better.
Yeah, no, so I talked to Proctorio for about an hour, I think, kind of saying, like, what am I using? What am I looking for? I gave them a whole breakdown of everything. I think you maybe had them talk to me. But I will say Proctorio kind of freaks me out a little bit more than Turnitin.
Well, we'll have to see how this, what they actually come up with, and what it looks like when the time comes.
Right. So sure. We'll talk more about Proctorio as an overall service later, I think, in more depth. but just the plagiarism software thing that they're working on or say mm-hmm. that they're working on should be another option. But here, this is the one that really kind of blew my mind was, so Tim, recently you were presenting to a bunch of teachers about all of the great Google tools and they were all, everybody was taking notes and kind of paying attention to everything. And they're like, oh, you can do this. And these are things we talked about, I think, in the last episode or two episodes ago. Not 20 minutes afterwards, bing, a message comes through on the phone and it said something quite interesting. So what did it say?
So basically, Google announced that they have a checker as well. Mm-hmm. And so, Brent, knowing how much you're into, you enjoy working with Google products, and integrating them into different into your classroom in many different ways.
Yeah.
I sent you that email as soon as I saw it, mm-hmm. and then looking forward to. I know you haven't had a whole lot of chance to play with it yet.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts? I mean, first of all, the fact that Google is doing this, I think, is a great opportunity, and it's really a good thing that way. But what are your thoughts as far as what this makes? Does this make sense to you?
Oh, my God. Game changer right off the bat. I mean, I've always said that as soon as Google enters the market, as soon as they make a decision to come into plagiarism, I don't know. I don't even know if it's going to be worth it for the other companies to pursue. So we have to point this out. On Monday, Turnitin sent out emails to many different users saying, hey, we would like to give you $75 for in Amazon gift cards for your opinions and your and for an hour of your time sharing about how you use Turnitin, right?
Interesting.
That was Monday afternoon. And Wednesday... Wednesday, the Google announcement comes out. So I'm thinking, is there any possibility that someone snuck them a little information ahead of time that this competition is coming out to them? And I think it's undoubtedly a possibility. But oh my gosh! So Google is the world's database search, right? I mean, that is everything. So if you're saying out there, hey, my plagiarism checker is literally well beyond the top, the world's top database crawler and searcher and right. website checker, it makes perfect sense for it to be a plagiarism checker. Now, this is brand new. Like it just turned on, and it does, you know, the similarity check and it sees what's going on. And so from what I've been able to see so far, I haven't even had my proper class run through this at this time. So I can only kind of speak in terms of making a couple of guesses at things. But this is going to be so huge. Like the opportunity for everything to scan through Google. What I'm really interested in too is there's this whole side of things that I have to deal with, which is students translating and then so writing from their language and then typing that in as English, right? And so mm-hmm. now we're dealing with the questions like, okay, you have ideas that you can translate, which is great, but you're not showing that you have the English level skills to do that, right? And so I'm really interested because most of the time now they're doing those translations through Google. So is Google right. going to turn on a switch and say, oh, we translated this too, right?
That's a good question.
And so, I mean, if they did that, that would be... I mean, it would be devastating for those students who are trying to do that, but it would be great for teachers who are, you know, suspicious of it or who want to really help people learn the language if that's their ultimate goal here, right? So there's a lot. Oh, my gosh. I just feel like I could go on and on. I'm probably going to have to kind of wrap things up and keep it limited for now because it is so brand new. But I think we can probably talk in depth about it later in the semester once I've had a few opportunities to play with it and work together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is going to be interesting. I'm afraid we're going to have to talk about Google quite a bit in this particular podcast. Because, they're constantly coming out with new innovative things.
Right.
And especially for the classroom. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening today. In this episode, we talked about video databases and we had an overview of some options for dealing with plagiarism. For more information about this show, please visit our website at thehigheredtechpodcast.com. There you will find our podcasts and a link to the information we've covered. Please listen next time when we talk about the new Canvas gradebook and Flipgrid.
And as always, we want your feedback. So if you like the show, please consider giving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Other than word of mouth, this is really the best way for us to be discovered. And I think if any of you out there who is a podcast listener knows that this is always the plea that they get at the end, this is why. It really does help. And we really hope that you can go out there. You can also go to thehigheredtechpodcast.com and let us know your thoughts. And if you have any ideas for future shows, there is a link on that page that can give you some a way to give us some topic ideas.
For everyone at IVC that's listening, if you need help with technology questions, please contact the IVC technical support desk at extension 5696. If you have questions about technology in your classroom, please contact me, Tim Van Norman, at tvannorman, V-A-N-N-O-R-M-A-N, at ivc.edu.
And if you want to reach out to me about the show, you can find me on Twitter or on Instagram at Brent, B-R-E-N-T, G, the letter G, Warner. So at Brent G. Warner.
I'm Tim Van Norman.
And I'm Brent Warner. And we hope this episode has helped you on the road from possibility to actuality. Have a good day.